Thank you for your regular and generous support of Issues Etc. in the past year, 2008. A good summary of my hopes for Issues Etc. for 2009 are St. Paul's words to the Colossians. Pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Thank you again for your support of Issues Etc. We'll continue defending the faith, teaching the truth, and making the most of every opportunity to proclaim Christ and Him crucified.
My intention is not to invoke the name of Jesus. I want this to be a prayer to the God of our many understandings.
We've anointed and consecrated this passageway, so symbolic, when the president-elect passes through here to become the next president of the United States.
There's a passage where Paul says, if I stay here and live with you, that's good. If I die and go to heaven, that's better. That's how I feel about this decision.
One of the things that was said is that in your religion, you don't take anyone to a doctor. Is that the case?
That's just not true. It's actually the opposite.
I think there's room for two Oprahs. I think if there is a new Oprah, Oprah would be happy that Obama's the new Oprah.
Well, we're nearing the end of the Lord's Prayer. Not quite the end, but near the end. Having passed the crucial heart of the prayer, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us, we are on to the matter of temptation. Temptation and sin go together. And we ask God in this latter part of the Lord's Prayer to lead us not into temptation. That's a strange way of wording things, isn't it? Lead us not into temptation. But that's what it says. It's our Pastor's Roundtable live this Thursday, December the 18th. We're coming to you live. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours of the program, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. Our in-studio email address, as usual, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our pastor's roundtable for the first hour of today's program. Then in the second hour, a very busy hour indeed. We're going to start out with Colleen Carroll Campbell dealing with two issues. One, what we can learn from the late Father Richard John Newhouse on how Christians interact and engage what he called the naked public square. We'll also talk about scandals and limited government. After that conversation with Colleen, Dr. John Whiffen will be our guest. A new report from the Centers for Disease Control on the increase of sexually transmitted diseases. And then we'll round off today's program talking about Islam and modernity. Do the two go together? Can the two coincide? A modern world and an ancient religion, Islam. Dr. Alvin Schmidt will be our guest. Our call-in number is 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E, coming to you live this Thursday, December the 15th. Yes, the 15th. Oh, December the 15th. It's January the 15th. It's supposed to be payday. How could I forget that? You know, this is how it is when you host a radio program. You just learn to live off the sheet, and if the sheet's wrong, the host is wrong. That's just the way it is. It is January the 15th, and we are live, so nobody panic. Our guest for the Pastor's Roundtable, by telephone from Garrison, Minnesota, where he pastors Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran Church, Pastor Matthew Roush. Pastor Roush, welcome.
Thank you, Todd.
Here in the studio, Pastor Mark Nebel, a regular guest. He's pastor of St. John's Lutheran Church in Redbud, Illinois. Thanks for driving up.
You're welcome, Todd. Good afternoon. It's good to be with you.
And a new guest, Issues Etc., Pastor Jeff Hemmer. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Jerseyville, Illinois. Thanks for coming over.
My pleasure.
Is it cold in Minnesota? I know it's cold here, Pastor Roush. I mean, we're talking sub-zero outside our office door. What's it like up there?
Well, my kids stayed home from school today, so they are absolutely loving the cold. The wind chills were somewhere around 40 to 50 below zero when we woke up this morning. So we're really looking forward to the 60-degree warm-up to 29 degrees this weekend.
Oh, my goodness. I can't even imagine that. Well, I remember a little bit of that from Nebraska winters, but it very seldom was it 40 to 50 degrees below zero. Well, our prayers are with you. I hope you survive the winter.
Thank you very much. We're doing great.
Okay, so first question goes to you, Pastor Roush. First thing we got to deal with is the strange wording of this petition. lead us not into temptation. Mm-hmm. I could understand help us avoid temptation, mm-hmm. Keep us from temptation, but lead us not.
Yeah, that's something that has been wrestled with for centuries, something I think Luther even maybe struggled a little bit with. Why would God lead us into temptation? And yet when people have looked at the Greek, it's at best a stretch to translate it otherwise than the traditional translation, lead us not into temptation. And so that the question then becomes, why would God lead us into temptation? Isn't the answer to that a resounding no? He never would lead us into temptation. And therein lies the challenge of the sixth petition. So maybe when you get into it, it is a little more challenging than you might think.
Pastor Nebel, does God lead anyone into temptation? Or does he tempt anyone?
Well, as Luther points out in the explanation to this petition, the Small Catechism, that God tempts no one. And the emphasis in this petition is going to be on the negative, on the not. And as we're going to find out when we come to the seventh petition, we ask just the opposite, deliver us from evil. So the sixth petition is, on the one hand, don't allow us to be in a tempting situation, and on the other hand, when that happens, deliver us from it.
Okay, you just said that the emphasis in this petition is on the not, and that's interesting because if you think about it, it is, hallowed be thy name, thy will be done, thy kingdom come, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our trespasses, all things we're asking for. Pastor Hemmer, we're not asking for something here. We're really asking to be spared something, aren't we?
Well, we're asking to be spared in the midst of temptation, but we're also asking the converse of being led into temptation is being carried out from temptation or to be guarded in the midst of temptation. So there's both a negative, lead us not into temptation, but also the affirmative of protect us even in the midst of temptation.
I guess what I'm wondering is the answer to this prayer ever no temptation, Pastor Nebel? Zero temptation. Tomorrow, I don't get any temptations, and God will see to it.
Yeah, as long as we live in this sinful world with a natural sinful flesh attached to us, we are going to face temptations. And we pray in this petition that God would deliver us from those and give us the strength to resist those temptations.
What is temptation?
Temptation is a situation in life where we have an opportunity as the children of God to decide to live as children of God or to forsake that baptismal calling that we have. There are situations in life that could either draw us closer to God, as God would want, or that could lead us away from God, as the devil would want.
Pastor Rusch, is the devil always the source of temptation? I mean, I guess what I'm wondering here is, if I could snap my fingers and make the devil go away, mm-hmm. would my temptation problem be solved?
Well, as Luther rightly points out in the explanation to the sixth petition, something that I refer to our confirmation students as the unholy trinity, that you know there's the devil, the world, and our sinful nature. So the problem of temptation is not entirely an outside thing, but the problem is right there within us. The problem is all around us. The problem is the devil causing mischief and trouble in all the ways that he does, including within us, in our sinful nature. So certainly the devil has his place as his share in the fact that we have a sinful nature, but the problem is more than just an external force that we need to just try and avoid and get rid of, but really gets to the heart of who we are as fallen people.
I wonder, Pastor Hemmer, do that kind of unholy trinity, do any of them, do they ever operate separate from one another? I'm trying to kind of gauge this by my experience with temptation, which is replete. And I'm thinking to myself, I don't think I could ever at any point in time put my finger on a situation of temptation and say, there the world is tempting me, or there it's my sinful flesh, or there it's the devil. They always seem to be in cahoots. I can't sort them out from one another.
Well, they all certainly want the same thing. They all want you to sin, and by sinning, they want you to turn away from God, to make yourself your God. Luther sort of nuances the way those three enemies fight against you. Your flesh kind of hangs around you to draw you into sins of the flesh. The world wants to entice you to anger, impatience, and then the devil comes, and his chief aim is to get you to reject your faith. So they all, I mean, they all three work together, and I don't think you could ever point to one and say, well, that's the devil tempting me and not my sinful flesh or not the world.
Is it a sin to be tempted, Pastor Neble?
It is not a sin to be tempted.
Is it? But I can't imagine temptation that doesn't involve sin. I mean, it always looks good to me when I'm tempted. No temptation is unattractive to me. It always looks good, and that looks like sin to me, in my case.
And Luther points out in the Large Catechism that it is not a sin to be attacked by temptation. With that we cannot avoid, particularly in this world.
The writer of Hebrews says, "For we do not have a high priest," speaking about Jesus, "who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So, at least for one person, Jesus Christ, temptation without sin was possible. But his human flesh was uncorrupted with sin, as ours is. So, is it possible for us to be tempted and not sin? Probably not. But we have a Savior who was tempted and yet who was without sin.
All right, let's talk about that on the other side of the break. Temptation itself is always with us. And I guess Christians often wonder, can I find a way of dealing with the temptation, kind of avoiding it in my life, stepping this way, stepping that way, sidestepping it or taking a detour, where I can avoid the end of temptation, which is sin. And then the end of sin, of course, is death. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Aretta Gordish, Matthew Strew, Kevin Coleman, Nick Nissing, Jordan Newberry, Sarah Scott, Renee White, Stephen Schmidt, and Michael Teske. Thanks for your support.
618-223-8384. It's the new phone number for the Issues Etc. listener comment line. 618-223-8384. Leery about calling a live radio talk show? Want to remain anonymous? Leave your recorded question or comment on the Issues Etc. comment line. 618-223-8384. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're big boys. We can take it. 618-223-8384.
LCMS Inc. canceled this? You're listening to Issues Etc.
Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Click promote and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org.
Would you like to post your favorite Issues Etc. audio segments on your website or blog? Well, we've made it easy for you. Just go to the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, click the embed green logo, and copy and paste the embed code on your website or blog. It's just like posting a YouTube video. Embed Issues Etc. audio on your website or blog today. We love our on-demand listeners. Old theology, new technology. Issuesetc.org.
Temptation. Temptation.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkins, our Pastor's Roundtable, this Thursday, January the 15th. Pastor Matthew Ruch, Pastor Mark Neble, and Pastor Jeff Hemmer are our guests. Before the break, Jeff, you were talking about the fact that, at least for one man, temptation did not involve sin in any way whatsoever. Pastor Ruch, I'm wondering about that one man, Jesus Christ. I cannot imagine undergoing any kind of temptation, small or large, without it having in some way stirring up sinful thoughts or desires in me. So it's impossible for me to imagine what it was like for Jesus facing the same temptation and never having that.
Yeah. And really, we shouldn't imagine ourselves able to stand up to temptation so perfectly that we overcome temptation completely. Scripture gives us some tools and ways that we can fight temptation. But Pastor Hemmer referenced Jesus sympathizing with our weaknesses in the book of Hebrews. When you read about Jesus's temptation in Matthew 4. It's there where we were talking about why would God ever lead us into temptation, and yet it's there that Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And so it's there that the Lord's Prayer becomes this, and when we pray this petition, lead us not into temptation, we really see it as this, as the battle between us and Satan is a battle that Christ has fought in our place. It becomes about the battle between Christ and the devil, and that he has overcome the tempter. He has overcome temptation. He's done that for us. So when we say, lead us not into temptation, we can confidently say, Christ has been led into temptation in my place. He's fought that battle for me.
Well, Todd, can I use an image or an analogy from sports to describe the difference between the temptation Jesus faced and what we faced?
Be my guest.
Well, the temptations that Jesus faced from the devil to be basically a king of the world without suffering, and the temptations we face every day are somewhat like the difference between a major league baseball pitcher throwing 100-mile-an-hour fastball and us trying to hit it, and facing a slow-pitch softball pitcher who throws it in nice and high and easy, and us trying to hit it. The temptations that Jesus faced from the devil were like that 100-mile fastball coming in, and he swung and hit every one of them out of the park for a home run, just knocked them away. And yet the devil throws his little slow-pitch softball temptations at us, and we swing and miss over and over and over again.
So there's no comparison
between the temptations that Jesus faced and what we faced? No. He faced major, major temptations and resisted them all. And the devil just suggests a few little things to us, and we fall for them, and we sin.
We're talking about the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer, Lead Us Not Into Temptation. It's Thursday, January the 15th. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. Or talk back at issuesetc.org. Pastor Hemmer, let's talk about Pastor Neble called before we went on the air, the life cycle of sin, or maybe better, the death cycle of sin. James, in his epistle, talks about how evil desire gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully born, gives birth to death. Is there an unbreakable connection between my sinful desires and the death that will eventually be born?
Absolutely. That's exactly what sin produces. Fully grown, it brings forth death, says James. Paul says the same thing. The wages of sin is death. And it is unbreakable. My sinful desires, the sin that I commit outwardly, and the death that it leads to, they're all bound to one another. And that's why, from the second that anyone is born, he's dying, because he's born a sinner.
Do temptations change over time, Pastor Neble? I'm wondering, about the temptations I face now as a middle-aged man, which, if I'm honest about it, are in some ways different than the temptations I faced as a younger man. And I'm wondering, probably in my retirement years, you're only a little bit closer than I am. The temptations may be different indeed then. Do they change over life?
Yes, they do. I have to laugh because we are the same age. Okay, I'm a month older than you. All right.
A month closer to retirement, yeah.
But I was thinking about the very same thing today. I'm not tempted by the same things now that I was 20 years ago, 30 years ago. And some of the things that tempt me now, I would have never thought of back then. And I'm sure that will change in another 20 years, God willing, if he gives me that amount of life in this world.
I don't want to get too autobiographical, but I find the older I get, the more the temptations have to do with things like reputation, pride, the esteem of my fellow man, which I just frankly didn't care about 25 years ago. But now it's a large part of the things that tempt me to sin.
I like to describe it as children were tempted by toys, as youth and young adults were tempted by lust, and as older adults were tempted by bigger toys.
I don't know how old you are, Pastor Roosh, but what does temptation look like for you? Because I think a lot of Christians will say, hey, I used to be tempted by lust when I was young, and now it's more money and things like that. But boy, I've overcome my lustful temptations, haven't I?
Yeah. you know, the thing that keeps coming to mind, as you know, especially listening to Pastor Neville talk about how temptations change, is that sometimes we don't, and I hope people take this the right way, sometimes we don't give the devil enough credit. And what I mean by that is he's really, really good at what he does, and he knows just how to tweak us and what we are, where our weaknesses lie. And right now I'd be real tempted by a vacation to Florida, somewhere that's about 80 degrees warmer than it is here in Minnesota. I wouldn't be tempted by a skiing vacation. The devil knows exactly what to get us with, because he's good at what he does. That's why we call him the tempter, the evil one, because he knows our weaknesses, and I suppose, like any good enemy, he attacks our vulnerabilities and our weaknesses.
An email comes from Tom in San Angelo, Texas, and he writes, a professor in high school once suggested that these final petitions of the Lord's Prayer should be translated, lead us, comma, not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In other words, lead us not in the direction of temptation, but rather lead us by delivering us from evil. Makes good sense, says Tom, but I don't know if the original allows such a translation. What are your thoughts there, Pastor Hemmer?
Well, punctuation certainly not inspired. I think they're saying essentially the same thing, though. To lead us in the twofold direction of not into temptation but away from evil, seems to me that the same is saying, keep us away from temptation and deliver us from evil or from the evil one.
We said before that that God doesn't lead us into temptation, but does God permit us, intentionally permit us, to undergo temptations?
Well, if the example of Job is proof at all of how God allows things to happen to us, then certainly God allows temptation to happen to us.
How does he do that without violating what he promises to do by giving us this petition to pray? How does he permit temptation to come our way without leading us into temptation?
He has yet to take us out of this sinful world. And every day we're going to face temptations that come to us from the devil through the world and affect our sinful flesh.
And I think part of that too is also that is being freed from temptation something we deserve. If God were to lead us into temptation, it would be no less than we deserve as sinful people. And yet, out of his grace, he does free us from temptation, or lead us away from temptation. He frees us from Satan and from Satan's curse and from eternal damnation. But certainly, there's that aspect that says, you know, if he were to lead you into temptation, it'd be no less than you deserve as a sinful person. But he doesn't, and therein lies the beauty of our salvation and the fact that he does not do it.
Pastor Matthew Ruch is pastor of Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran Church in Garrison, Minnesota. He's part of our Pastor's Roundtable live this Thursday, January the 15th, along with Pastor Mark Nebel, pastor of St. John's Lutheran Church in Redbud, Illinois, and Pastor Jeff Hemmer, pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Jerseyville, Illinois. Feel free to join us for the next half hour and the hour beyond, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943, our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. After about 25 more minutes of our Pastor's Roundtable, two issues with Colleen Carroll Campbell. What can we learn from the late Father Richard John Newhouse on how to engage the naked public square? And we'll talk about scandals and limited government. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned.
Too Lutheran for a Lutheran radio station. You're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our communities, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast. www.steadfastlutherans.com.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Having a new pro-abortion president is a serious blow to our pro-life efforts. But in one case, the trickle-down theory applies. President-elect Barack Obama appointed Arizona Governor Janet Napolitano to his cabinet. Provided she's confirmed as expected by the Senate, she'll be the next Secretary of Homeland Security. The good news is she won't be governor of Arizona any longer. She is hardcore pro-abortion and has consistently vetoed all pro-life legislation, even a ban on partial birth abortion. And she stopped pregnant women from being informed about the possible dangers of abortion. Jan Brewer, the Secretary of State, is pro-life and will become the new governor. This means the lives of unborn babies and their mothers in Arizona stand a much better chance of being protected.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Terry Small, Mary Ragonesi Johnson, Catherine Wright, Ryan Tinetti, William Rowland, Mark Miller, Nock Vu Rowland, Patrice Tinetti, Bill Firo, and Cynthia Good. Thanks for your support.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Tomorrow on the program, listener email. We've got a lot to respond to. Issues Etc. blog of the week and Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. It's the Pastor's Roundtable, the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer. That's lead us not into temptation. What does it look like, Pastor Nebel, when God is leading us not into temptation? I mean, I think with daily bread, we see food on a table. With thy kingdom come, we see pastors preaching the word. We see babies being baptized. But this one seems a little more ambiguous. How do I see this answered in my life?
Let's take the example of a recognizable bad thing happening in life. Maybe it be a health issue, economic issue, a tragedy of some type. So a bad event happens. Now what? God wants to use that and work through that to draw us by the power of His Holy Spirit closer to Him. And that event then serves as a trial or a test for our faith and a means for God to work through His Word to strengthen our faith. The devil, on the other hand, wants to use that bad event to cause despair in our lives and lead us away from God, to doubt God's goodness, to doubt God's promises. We had mentioned a while back James chapter 1, and there are two excellent paragraphs in James chapter 1 to show the difference between God's testing of our faith that happens under trial and the devil tempting us to go against God's will. Verses 12, 13, 14 show the difference between the trial and the testing that come.
What do they say?
Well, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. That's what God wants to do for us. That's his proper work. But then in verse 13, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when by his own evil desire he's dragged away and enticed. And then we get into, as you said, the death cycle of sin. The temptation comes from our own evil desires. God's testing of our faith is a way that he strengthens that faith as we persevere under his goodness.
Pastor Hemmer, if someone says, how do I know God is leading me not into temptation? Beyond just kind of, I sense temptation, this time I was able to avoid outright obedience to the temptation. What does it look like when God's not leading us into temptation?
Well, I think you really hit the nail on the head. Why this petition is different from the petition asking for daily bread. I mean, you can see daily bread, but you can't see this kind of fight that goes on between us and these three powerful enemies, the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. St. Paul says we don't fight against flesh and blood. That would be easy enough to see, but we fight against powers and principalities. So what it looks like when God answers this prayer, I mean, just think how powerful those three enemies are. If it were just my sinful flesh alone, I couldn't even win. But it's not just my sinful flesh. It's my sinful flesh. It's the whole world around me. And it's the devil who prowls around like a roaring lion, just trying, waiting for an opportune time to devour me, to destroy my faith. So for God to lead us not into temptation is for him to enable us not to rely on ourselves. If it's just up to me to fight against those enemies, then I'm lost before I even start. But to lead us not into temptation is for God to give us the victory by the one who already withstood temptation.
Okay, so we're right back to where Pastor Roosh took us earlier in the conversation, and that is we need to constantly bear in mind that Jesus was tempted and withstood temptation, tempted in every way yet without sin, for us. So is it too simple to say, Pastor Roosh, that when God is answering this prayer, it looks like sinners beset with temptation, struggling with it, yet relying entirely upon Jesus' obedience?
Well, as people who are, as we would say, curved in on ourselves, we always like to look to ourselves to find the answer to our problems. This is kind of, it's part of our sinful nature. Every time I walk into a Christian bookstore, I wonder, you know, if there are some people who think the Bible says that the answer to temptation is to go to your nearest Christian bookstore and find a book that'll help you. I mean, it's just, you know, everywhere you look, here's a book to help you with lust, here's a book to help you with pride, here's a book to help you with whatever it is that is tempting you. And yet it's Christ that is the one who is tempted in our place for us, because this enemy of Satan, the world, and our sinful flesh, we cannot stand up against him ourselves. I remember someone I knew once, their child had from the Christian bookstore a toy set of the armor of God from Ephesians chapter 6. What a wonderful passage that is, where Paul gives us the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, and this little kid would strap all of this on. But I think when we think of that passage, we think of all the work that we're doing to put those things on. We're going to do this. This is how we're going to fight the evil one. And yet all of those words, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, shoes of readiness given by the gospel of peace, all of them are things that God does for us in Jesus Christ. And he shows that in the middle of our temptation, he is the one who delivers us out of temptation, not our own commitment.
Pastor Neble, I think Pastor Roosh was talking about what kind of feeds the mill of Christian publishing nowadays. And I've observed in the past that if you look at the bookshelves, if you look at the programs and the things that are popular in churches, programs and self-help kind of stuff, you get the distinct impression that people are striving for the sinless blank. Marriage, parenting, work experience, the sinless whatever. But they want it sin-free, a sin-free life. Now, while that's a commendable goal, you said earlier that there's no such thing except for Jesus.
And there certainly is no quick fix to a tempted and sinful life.
Sure there is. They call it a funeral.
That's a fix. Okay. All right, yeah.
Before that.
Sorry.
But we're not going to – not a fix we're going to find walking into the Christian bookstore. Although we tend in life to be people who look for microwave solutions to slow-roasted problems. And that may be the same with our temptations. The things that tempted us in the past may not tempt us as much anymore. You ask, how do we recognize when God is not leading us into temptation? And perhaps we recognize that when the things that used to tempt us don't tempt us as much anymore. Now that we've determined that today is January 15th, one of the things that takes place on a day like this for some of us is the paying of our estimated taxes. And in fact, I put the check in the mail as I was heading here in case any agents of the IRS are listening in. But in times past, those days made me mutter and groan and complain quite a bit about having to send off this big check to the government that's probably just going to waste it and stuff like that. I'm getting better at that, not quite as tempted to be as upset about paying those taxes as I used to be.
Let's talk about another way that Scripture puts this petition. There are times where we're admonished by the apostles to flee immorality, flee the devil. It's often put in those terms, run away. When you see it coming, run away. We're warned about temptation as a very, very dangerous thing. Pastor Hemmer, we've talked so much about the familiarity of temptation in our lives. Is one of the dangers of temptation that we become so familiar with it that we fail to see that every temptation is mortal danger to us?
Absolutely. I mean, that's what makes these three enemies so powerful, that, you know, when you're focusing on one, or on one particular temptation, even you can miss a whole host of other temptations.
It comes back to what you were saying before, Pastor Neble. If I'm striving for the sin-free marriage, and I think now I finally got it, I've reached the plateau for sin-free marriage, I may, in fact, be ignoring other great places where I do fall into temptation in the rest of my life. About a minute here.
Well, the fact that we have the ability to flee sins of the flesh, God gives us that ability through His Word and His sacrament, reminds us that as sanctified Christians, we are to avoid those places where we might be tempted to sin. We are to stay away from those people who would tempt us to sin, and we are not to engage in those activities where we would be tempted to sin. And that's going to be different for each one of us. Those things that might tempt you to sin could be things that wouldn't tempt me, and vice versa.
When we come back from this break, 10 more minutes in our pastor's roundtable on the Lord's Prayer, the sixth petition, lead us not into temptation. I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. It's Thursday, January the 15th, 10 more minutes with our pastor's roundtable. Stay tuned.
International human rights attorney and law professor Dr. John Warwick Montgomery on the importance of issues, etc.
Before settling in England and France, I had my own Christian radio program for 10 years in California and 2 years in Washington State. I was also a regular for over a decade on national religious television. In a word, I have had a great deal of contact with evangelical programming, both good and bad, and my judgment in this area is probably worth something. In my opinion, Issues Etc. is one of the very few programs on Christian radio willing to discuss tough questions with solid theological answers. I consider it a great privilege to be able to appear on the program regularly, and I commend it to every serious listener.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check, Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
We're not funded by LCMS, Inc. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the Sponsors section of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Daniel Theodore Boder, Michael Stanton Kiever, Marla Stein, Leonard W. Stadler Jr., Suzanne Teske, Terrence O'Brien, Mary Everett, Timothy Frank, Tom Packer, and Tina Weimer. Thanks for your support.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's our pastor's roundtable, 1-877-623-6943, talking about lead us not into temptation. 1-877-623-MYIE, talk back at issuesetc.org. Is there a greatest temptation, Pastor Roush? I mean, that is a temptation that is not of your ordinary run-of-the-mill kind of garden variety temptation, but one that is, if a Christian were to succumb to it, is especially dangerous.
I think when Luther constructed the small catechism, he had in mind that when he put the Ten Commandments first, that the very first commandment would sort of be the linchpin for the entire thing, and that first commandment being, you shall have no other gods. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. And that when we give in to temptation, you know, even if it's just a seemingly small one, whose will are we doing? Are we serving God, or are we serving ourselves? Because ultimately, when we just do that little thing we're tempted to do, just whether it's, you know, whatever it may be that's after us, it really becomes a problem of idolatry, of worship of ourself rather than God. And I suppose for the devil, that's just as good as worshiping him as worshiping yourself, because it means separation from God and from Christ. So any temptation that leads us, which it was really all temptation, would lead us to forsake God and forsake our faith would be the greatest temptation.
I think this is what troubles a lot of Christians. They read all sorts of passages in Scripture that would indicate Christians ought to avoid temptation, flee temptation, resist temptation, engage in that struggle. And then they say, but what about me? Because I have sinned intentionally. It wasn't I was tempted and then in a moment of weakness slipped and gave in. There was nothing accidental about this. I planned it. I thought it over. I knew it was wrong. And I did it. Now, I may have repented subsequently, but I did it on purpose. Pastor Neville, what do you say to somebody who says, I have sinned intentionally, and the Bible seems to say that while Christians will sin, they should never sin intentionally?
We cannot give in to temptation more than what Jesus has suffered and died for us upon the cross. Our giving in to temptation has been paid for already by Christ's own life, death. And through his resurrection, we have new and eternal life.
Well, then some Christians will, many Christians, perhaps all will, engage in this little calculation. I can't out-sin Jesus. Therefore, I kind of like to sin, and I've got a few sins I'd like to do. And since I can't out-sin Jesus, I'll just plan to repent later. And I'll just make my plans like this. Sin, and then repent. Because I can't out-sin Jesus. Pastor Roush, what would you say to such a person?
I would say that later is never guaranteed to you. I would say that such behavior is not in keeping with the faith of a Christian. And yet I would gather there are times when many Christians have had such thoughts go through their mind. That person needs to hear the law. It needs to hear that when we sin, I remember a seminary professor, which one it was escapes me now, but he put it in the phrase of, and he might have even said it on your program, Todd, that when you sin, you choose death. You choose to do the exact opposite of what God intends for you and what God and how God has called you to live in Christ. That person needs to be confronted with that reality, but then why are we confronted with that reality? So we can hear the wonderful message of the gospel, so we can hear the wonderful message of forgiveness that Christ pays for those, even those sins which we really, really like to do, and maybe we even thought about a lot before we did them, that all of them are covered in his blood.
Pastor Hemmer, you have a newly minted vocation, actually a couple, if I'm not mistaken. You're a rather new pastor. You're also a new father. Am I right?
That's correct.
And so congratulations.
Thank you.
Having embarked upon two new vocations in your life, among the others that you already possessed, I wonder about new temptations that arise. We have a guest on this program, Dr. Jean Edward Veith, who said people sin in their vocation. They sin in the context of the roles that God has given them in life to do. It's their calling they sin against. You have two new ones. Have you discovered new temptations?
Oh, absolutely. I think laziness is a huge temptation for pastors and for parents as well. I know the baby needs his diaper changed, but I just got home from work and I sure would like to sit down, or I got home from meetings and it sure would be nice to change out of my uniform and kick my feet up and have a beer. But it's not just about me anymore. Now it's about what my son needs and what my wife needs me to do for him. And for a pastor, it's about what the congregation needs, the people God has gathered to you.
Is there ever a time, Pastor Neville, for you when you have found yourself beset with temptation and kind of prayed this prayer in reverse, like, God, why are you allowing me to undergo this temptation?
I thought you were going to say, God, help me forget that I'm being tempted so I don't worry about it. Because those times happen too. But yeah, I think, boy, I thought I had this one licked. Why is this one coming back and getting me again? Am I going to be able to stand up under this one? Is this God testing me to see if I'm going to give in or if I'm going to walk on by and resist this temptation?
Pastor Roosh, this is the toughest one of all. I'll just give it to you.
Thanks.
Okay. Well, I think you can handle it. Luther talks about there being a time in the Christian's life and in every Christian's life when he can't tell the difference between God and the devil. He cannot distinguish between the two. And he uses as an example Abraham, who was tested by God to do something that God would never ask anyone to do. But God asked him to do it nonetheless, sacrifice his own son,
mm-hmm.
and put an end to the promise of Abraham being a great nation. He says, if you go out and do it. This doesn't seem to have much to do with the devil. This seems to be God hard-pressing his saints. What is God up to there with Abraham and when he presents himself in this way to us as Christians?
When God allows us to go through such things, or even these things seem to come from him, it is the opportunity, and we were referencing James 1 before, it is a joy, James says, to face a trial because the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And as Christians, our Lord Jesus reminds us we are called to take up a cross. It's going to be hard. We shouldn't expect otherwise. But in a sense, if it were not hard, would we forget that we need our Lord Jesus to deliver us through temptation and out of temptation? If all of a sudden when we come to Christ and come to faith, if all of it were easy, would we not in our sinful flesh forget that we need a Savior, that we need someone to free us? And so it is a joy that God does allow these things to happen, or even they seemingly come from him, because it shows that he is strengthening us so that in the midst of this battle, we will not be overcome. That when we are face to face with Satan, and he's got all his forces seemingly lined up against us, not as it would have been for Christ, but it sure feels that way sometimes. We know that we have been prepared for that day because we will know that, you know, we have our baptismal promise that we belong to Christ. We are God's children, and as Paul reminds us in Romans 8, nothing can separate us from him.
And the trial always takes my attention away from me, and that's what being delivered from temptation is all about. When God has me thinking about him as my relief from temptation, instead of thinking about me and my own battle against temptation, that's what trial brings about.
Pastor Jeff Hemmer is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Jerseyville, Illinois. Good place to end. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you.
Pastor Mark Nebel is pastor of St. John's Lutheran Church in Redbud, Illinois. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. It's good to be here.
And Pastor Matthew Roosh is pastor of Shepherd of the Lake Lutheran Church in Garrison, Minnesota. Matthew, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks, Todd. If you guys ever get the ability to go remote again, consider yourselves invited to go ice fishing on Lake Mille Lacs for walleye and set up a live show there.
Yeah, I think I'll pass on that one. Well, it wouldn't be too bad, but minus the ice. Folks, we have resources on the Lord's Prayer posted under the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned through the break for Hour 2 of Issues Etc. Up right next, Colleen Carol Campbell. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.